I didn't believe in the things that I believe in, how would I be reacting to everything that's going on in 2020? You know, with the COVID and maybe the election, whether it's faked or not, or the candidates, people, it's this us against them mentality. And the world seems like a pretty, it seems like things are getting worse as far as the divide and all of that. And then there are, you know, there's always things in the world you can look at that are horrible that are going on if you want to focus on that. But there's a lot of good we don't hear about. So how would I feel about all this? I'm grateful that I believe have maybe learned some things, but I could be wrong on all of that. But I'm grateful that I have a different perception of things. And maybe this just goes back to my mother, because she had a big influence on me. But I think that she always tried to find the positive. And she lived through, you know, we think we're living in bad times, but she was in Germany on the losing end of the war, and she was only a young girl when it first started, 9 years old, and 14 when it ended, and she lost her mother in it and had nightmares for years of bombing, you know, them bombing. She lived in Mannheim. And so what I'm going through is pretty mild, and I've always kind of taken that in compared to her. Nobody's bombing my house. Nobody's taking away my food, so we're barely surviving, at least not right yet. And then none of those things. And when you put it all in perspective, we always worry about potential futures or what could happen. And it seems like both sides of the aisle really try to put us in fear. If you don't elect me, blah, blah, blah. And they put you in this fear. And so I want to step back from all of that. And I'm not trying to influence anybody to believe what I believe. You believe whatever gets you through it. But if in any way what I believe helps you, and the reason I got to that, can maybe lift your... maybe it'll help you see things in a different light. And I'm not trying to do that. Whatever you believe is your sacred space. So I have no intention. But I'm just going to share, because this is my podcast, I'm going to share how I got to where I am now. Why do I think the way I do? You know, ever since I started interviewing people, psychics, mediums, people that are natural healers, you know, they all seem to have an understanding of the metaphysical. And I got mine just through a few different channeled messages and my own experiences. And it's funny because I can relate to just about anybody. So I think that these sources that I trust are truthful. But I don't know 100%, nor does anybody, really. When a psychic tells you something, how do they know? Are they always right? I don't think so. I've yet to meet anybody. And sometimes you can tune into things, and sometimes you can't. And there's a lot of other factors. So I'm going to start out with at the very beginning, I guess. And if you don't want to listen to this, I'm not here to challenge anybody, so I'm just giving you a warning now. I'm going to talk about God, and it's not going to be in a religious sense. I'm going to talk about Jesus, and it's not necessarily going to be in a religious sense. I mean, it's going to be a similar. I'm not here to attack anything. I'm going to talk about aliens, multidimensional beings, what I believe the planet has been under. And maybe when I'm all done, you can see a different picture or not. I don't care. It's up to you. You're always welcome to come on and share your viewpoint. So, you know, I used to believe in God as this being. I didn't know what he was. I thought he was more spirit, I guess. And it was a male, because that's what I was told in my upbringing as a Lutheran. But I thought he was a loving being. But yet, you know, the Bible kind of makes it seem like, well, if you don't believe in Jesus and accept him as your Savior, you know, you can't get to heaven. And why would any loving being do that? And I remember as a child, I'd have these heart-to-heart talks with God and ask for everybody. I'm 4 years old. I have vivid memory going back to 2, actually. But at 4 years old, I'd be asking, and please take care of Nipper, that was our dog, and Teddy Bear, don't let anything happen, and don't let anything happen to Mom and Dad, and Donna, that's my sister, or Gary, my brother, you know, and the horse. You know, it's funny how when you're a little child like that, that you have these, and I have these memories of laying in bed thinking about those things, because you were worried, because, you know, in a way, religion can scare you a little bit. So as I started to explore the metaphysical in the 80s, And it started really with a book called Messages from Michael. And then I moved on to other things. And eventually Ramtha was a wonderful book, Masters of the Far East, Conversations with God. Those are just a few of the different books that I've read that kind of put God in a different light. Source, as some people call it. Some people don't even like to refer to God as God because the being that created all of us does not want you to worship it, from my perspective. It doesn't need you to. So I refer to it as God because I still like using that phrase. But source, whatever you're comfortable with. And those of you that belong to a certain religion, I think there's a lot of things we can agree on, you know? And if I have... I've expressed my opinions with most people I've ever met. Matter of fact, there was a woman who I'd say she's a friend of mine. She came on the radio station earlier in the week, and we did a commercial. We got to talking about different things, and she said she's angry with God because a friend of hers has cancer. This is a very religious person, she says. And why is this person getting cancer? Furthermore, she said, why would God make his own son go on the cross to die for us? Why would God do that? I'm angry at God. I pray to Jesus instead. And I said, well, what if you're wrong on all that? What if what you've been taught? I'm not trying to change your mind, but I just tried to get you to think a little bit. I said, what if you're wrong about that? What if the Bible isn't as accurate as you think? What if some things were left out? Why didn't they put the earliest writings known to mankind in the Bible, like the Sumerian writings? Mary Magdalene apparently wrote some things, and they were left out, and others. So I'm not here to bash anything, just so you know. It's just that I question things, and I see nothing wrong with doing that. And I see a being that loves us is based in love, and that's where I probably differ from others who have certain beliefs. This being is just pure love, that's all. And we are the ones that, when we're not in that state of mind, have created this, and this being has nothing to do with that. It only recognizes pure love. We are the ones that have a lot more power than we realize, which I'll talk about. So over the time, God has become this being. You know, Ramtha wrote about this and said, one of the very first things he said, God equals love. And I've heard that over and over again, and my own experience with this divine love that I felt three times in my life, this incredible nirvana wave of love. I don't know how else to describe it. It was just pure joy. Twice from both my parents that passed away, when they came back to visit, that's what it was. So I know that, for me at least, that's evidence that God is love. They were coming to me from a higher place. So then we talk about, you know, I explored creation and wanted to know the answers of how things came to be. And there's a couple of sources that I looked at. There have been more than one. But you don't always get a source of, well, has God always been? How did he come into existence? And from the best I can understand it, this being has always been there, this source. It's always been there, whatever this being is. From my best perspective, it is thought energy. It is just this energy that's thought, and it's pure love, it's pure joy. And there was a time, I don't know when, but this being contemplated, it's been explained this way, this being contemplated itself. There was a group of beings that I used to, years ago, back in the early 90s, I would go listen to a woman who channeled an entity by the name of Georges. And this was like a group of beings made up of several souls, and the last name they remembered was called Georges. And I've heard of these beings before. You probably heard of them before because there's a being called Abraham. Remember Esther Hicks and Abraham, the law of attraction? If you've ever heard about that, she talks about that. And the being she channels is Abraham. And from what I understand, we go on to other journeys. And on the sixth level of consciousness, there is a bunch of us will join together with others, and we may do this for a long period of time, just to experience what it's like in oneness. It could be a group of 1,000 souls, and they go by a name, whatever name they last remembered being called, because they might have not been on Earth or anywhere for a long time. So it was Georges that said that God contemplated himself and created us. Raptha said, I think that as well. So there's two beings that are talking about that. And what we were is basically an extension. That's all we are, is an extension, which is a wonderful thing. I'm not saying that's all we are. It means we're not much of anything. We are every much an aspect of this being that created us. We are little gods, if you will. I've heard that term used. And the little gods were allowed to go and play, because through the little gods, the main one, the source of all things, would it live and would expand. And it loved creating. And we loved creating. So it was with the help of the big G that the universe was created. And then the little G's and the planets and all that. The little G's, I believe, were given the freedom to create physical life, because we were the ones that were going to inhabit physical life. This had never been done before. We had been in multi dimensions. So we first, when we were created, were just pure thought. And then we wanted to become, we thought, you know, let's become more. I wonder what it would be like to be physical or something else. And so we moved from thought into light, and then eventually lower. And each time we have to do this, we lower our vibration, we move further away from source, and then we became physical. And then when we moved down to the third dimension and planet Earth and took bodies, we were even further remained. Although I believe in the beginning, our connection to source was there. It was over time through manipulation of our DNA and a shield placed over the planet that we no longer had direct connection to source. Now, more and more people are starting to feel that and sense that, because we're in this great change. That's what this is all about, in my opinion. Again, you don't have to believe any of this or agree. I'm not here to offend people. Just, this is why I believe what I believe, and it served me very well. I could change my mind. I'm very open. Tomorrow I could drop all of this, but doesn't look like that's going to happen at this point. So there are several levels of consciousness, and I'm sure there could be many more, but this is how it was explained to me by a couple of different channeled beings, and Earth is on the very bottom level. The reincarnation, where you go after you die, from what I understand, might be on the fourth level, which is the reincarnation belief. And then you come back, and you meet your parents and all your loved ones and blah, blah, blah. And you come down back down to the first level, if that's what you want to do. But there are those that believe you can move beyond that level. And I think that's what Jesus was trying to tell us, that you don't have to keep coming back. You can return home if that's where you want to go. And you know what's funny is that I had something like an experience with that. When my friend Jay got cancer in 2007 and I went to the Native ceremony in Rapid River, and I went there when he was sick, and then it was after he died that I went back and they held a special ceremony. And I was told by Bruce, who was one of the elders there, Native American, and they believe in the ancient Ojibwe teaching, which is very close to what I was amazed how close it is. They claim that Jesus visited their people like 1,000 years after his death and gave them a lot of instruction and truth, which it sure seemed like in their teaching. It was just so gentle and loving. But when we did this ceremony, Bruce told me, he is free now, your friend Jay. And I said, what do you mean? He no longer has to go to the fourth level of consciousness. He is free to go wherever he wants. By doing this ceremony today, we freed him. Now, I think it was, I don't know how much after that, a year or so later, I don't know. I forget exactly. Some things I can remember really well, but you know, so you kind of get into, but I think it was after that, maybe a year, I went to meet a channel and a medium, and this woman, I went actually with my coworker, and everybody got a chance to ask a couple of questions. I met this woman a couple of times. She's really good. I like her. She's just a gentle soul, and she was elderly when I met her, so I don't know if she's around anymore. So this has to be in the late 90s, I believe. And I asked a question about Jay. And she said, well, let me let's see if he's here. And she said, well, he's like a little boy. He's riding his bike and he's free as a bird and he loves it. He's yelling, wee! And that kind of made me think, okay, maybe we did free his spirit, like my native friend told me. And then I asked a question about if he had a message for his wife or anybody in the family, because I know they still dearly missed him. And I was told, just tell them to remember the Tetons. And I thought, does that mean, this woman said, does that mean anything to you? And I said, I don't think so, unless you're talking about the Grand Tetons and maybe him and I know I lived out west in another lifetime. I said, maybe that's how we were like brothers in another time, I was told. But I didn't know where. I said, well, maybe that's what he's talking about. That happens so often in spirit. Let me just say, that happens so often. They want you to look. So you're going, well, I think it knows this. So I go back, and it took a while, but I finally told one of his daughters, one of Jay's daughters, it's kind of embarrassing. I said, you know, I went to this thing, and your dad said something about the Tetons. I don't know what that means. And she started laughing. And I said, what's so funny? And she said, that's what he called my mom's boobs, the Tetons. And he was kind of a jokester. I didn't know that side of him too well, but apparently he was getting a message across, probably to get people to laugh and feel good from the other side, and that he was in a good place. And then I think he visited all of us. And that's a different story for a different time. I've talked about it before, but he did some really weird things with me and I think other people, just to let him know, I'm good. I'm good where I'm at. So I guess that was where I went down the course of how, you know, there are maybe other levels of consciousness. So I think when we came to the planet, we were experimenting with creating the right beings. And of course, we love to create and we love to compete against each other. So we'd build a dinosaur and we'd make one to eat it. And we started out with cavemen and early beings. And we kept trying to improve on that. And we finally did. And found one that's why these other races disappeared. I don't know if we destroyed them or if they just no longer were inhabited by souls. And these beings, I believe, in the beginning were very aware and had abilities that none of us possess now, other than the few masters that have visited the earth. And we didn't have illness. We didn't have lack of anything. This is why we have so much strife in the world, because there's lack. And we were able to produce. It only makes sense to me that we were unlimited, because we are unlimited outside of our physical form. Why would we not be that in physical? Could we not design things that way? And then after a while, there were those that said, you know, this is kind of boring. We can do whatever we want. Wouldn't it be great to forget what God is so we could have this great awakening at some point? Wouldn't that be a fun journey to take? And I'm guessing most everyone agreed on that. And those that didn't maybe went elsewhere, but we're going to, and Earth allowed this, we're going to have what's called duality. So we're going to be removed from what our true connection to God is. And this would be a wonderful journey. Well, somebody's got to play the role of the bad guy, because how are we going to not remember all these things? And there were those, I would say, that volunteered to do this. And so we could have this wonderful, we thought it was going to be a wonderful journey of forgetting so that someday we could remember. And we allowed them to tamper with our bodies, remove 10 of our helixes. So they only had two. Again, these are all channeled messages. I'm just repeating them. And also they put a grid over the planet so that light could not be received here, because there's always light supporting light. But light is very gentle and loving. Light doesn't come crashing through. So what term was in the universe was created was darkness, the yin and the yang, so that everybody could experience rising up from the darkness, because that seemed to be the thing. Now, some planets, I believe, are totally light, and maybe they're fifth dimensional in consciousness. I don't know. But I think there are places in the universe that still exist that are very dark. It's going to be that way, I would assume. Or is the whole universe? Some people have told me that the whole universe is going to become light. I don't know. I tend to think more that we're going to want to experience, there are beings who are going to want to experience, not me, they're going to want to experience the going through all that stuff again. I think I've done it enough times. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it anymore. And then we've had visitors from other locations that have come here, and some have tried to help us and some have tried to enslave us. And we've been enslaved for a long time. I think the Bible talks about some of these battles that took place. And I think even the Hindus and other cultures refer to, they had paintings of these great battles in the sky. And Ancient Aliens kind of touches on that, the TV show. But there's a lot, I think, that took place in our past. And I think there was a time, again, not trying to offend anybody, but Raptha said Jehovah was not actually God. He was a being from space. He's the one that created the Ark of the Covenant. And I'm certainly open to all this. And that was a great weapon that was used to defeat other armies. And there were other gods that were fighting against him. He was eventually chased out of here. But there were these multidimensional beings that stuck around, the dark ones, if you will. And these are the ones that are still controlling us, or maybe some say they're done now, I don't know. To this day, we've seen the rise and fall of continents, and Earth has been very sophisticated, I believe, again, through channeled messages, and the most recent one was Atlantis. From what I understand of Atlantis, it did exist. It was in the Atlantic Ocean between North America and Africa. And it's not a case that it sunk so much as a case of, well, maybe it was partially that, but the channeled messages I've read, which makes some sense. I don't know if it's 100%. Lemuria existed at the time, and Mu and Atlantis, and we're talking well over 10,000 years, if not longer. And the Atlanteans were split into two groups. You had the very scientific groups, which were starting to lean towards darker energies, forces. And you had the very spiritual, the priests, but they weren't priests of a religion. And the priests were teaching the law of one, which was connected to what? The one source. And so it was a very spiritual time, but also very kind of like the world is now, getting weapons and potentially have the ability to destroy ourselves. So it was the law, the ones that were Archangel Metatron talked about these. He called them the Aryan race. That's where Hitler got his ideas from. But the Aryans, the sons of Belial, were the ones that were working with darkness, and they wanted to take over. And they tricked the priests, and there was this weapon that they were testing. They were doing all kinds of things, but they tested this weapon out in the skies. And the atmosphere carried, at that time, the stratosphere carried most of the liquid on this planet. And when they tested this stratosphere, they had, down came the water. And you could even connect this to the Great Flood, right? And many cultures have talked about a Great Flood. And when the water came down, all the lower areas were flooded out. I don't think the whole world was flooded out. Just the lower areas were flooded out. Atlantis was a lower area. Lemuria, which is the Hawaiian Islands all the way over to the Asian coast, a lot of it got flooded out. And a lot of people left there. A lot of people died. But the Lemurians made their way to Mount Shasta and other locations, and also to the inner earth. And here we go with this. This is a bag of nuts right here. And they found these passageways to the inner earth, and they've been living there ever since. And they have very little activity with all of us, because humans on top of the earth don't know how to respect and love things, not all of us. So they've removed themselves from all of us, and they open these doorways to check on us. And one of them is, gee, there's strange things that happen down there. What's that all about? Bermuda Triangle, they open a doorway. And if you heard Bruce Gernon, he witnessed going through some kind of thing, a doorway or something. He's the one person that lived going through it. So is that evidence? I don't know. There was a group of people that wanted to go explore the hollow earth. They really believed it was hollow and that beings lived down there. And I interviewed these people, and they had a ship ready to go. And the first time, the man who was leading the expedition died rather quickly. And then the second time, they had a Russian ship they were going to basically pay to rent to take them to this place. And they were funded by somebody with a fair amount of money. And there was like 1,000 people or whatever were going to go on this. And then the funding got pulled. I kind of saw that coming. So is that proof that these things exist? Well, it certainly is proof that it seems like somebody doesn't want us to go look at this, even attempt to look at it. I can't say for sure, but I do believe the earth may indeed be hollow. Raptha said it was. Others have said it. And there's just enough out there to make you go, it's a possibility. And there are several doorways that open up. Sea of Japan is another one. And if you're there and you're caught there, then you get sucked into this place. Maybe that's what happened to the famous flight in 1945. Those six aircraft that just disappeared. And then the rescue flight disappeared. Just disappeared. Nobody ever found it. Maybe they wrecked at the bottom. You know, they say when the doorway opens, you can either go inside it or you're going to get pushed down to the bottom of the ocean. It's not deliberately that they're trying to do that. They're just coming out of a door, and if you're standing behind it, you get hit in the nose. If you're there when it opens, you go inside. Kind of like what happened in the movie, I don't know if you ever caught that, Close Encounters, when these people are returned. They don't really say who had them. It looks like the Greys, kind of, but these people are returned. And where did they go for all those years? Some kind of doorway? Maybe. Maybe there's more to it than going on. So Atlantis eventually fell, and the Atlanteans moved on, and they brought with them lots of technologies. And some people credit the Atlanteans with building the pyramids. I really don't believe that. The channeled messages, these pyramids were built by a race or a group of beings that were very enlightened that came here. And they knew how to use the ability to lift rock with just their thoughts or sound waves. And there's a couple of stories that kind of connect to that. There was a woman I met years ago, and she talked about having a vision, and she was alive, and she was near a pyramid. And I don't know if it was Egypt or where, because they're all over the world. And she said she was being shown how to create sound to move giant boulders. And she said she also remembered entering a city and the pyramid was there and it was used to light up the city. There was a free energy that it was creating. Is that just nothing? Maybe. And then there was a story about Florida City, Florida. The man who wanted to marry a woman, and this is true, and this was back in the 30s, I think, and this woman jilted him. But he had built this, what they call the Coral Castle. You can look that up. And they don't know how this man moved all these giant stones. Now, there was a rumor, and I don't know if there's any truth to it, that he learned the technique of the ancients. I think he said that, of how to move stones. Now, he doesn't say how, but again, he could have been using it through a sound or thought energy, which I believe we're all capable of doing. So that would explain at least why the pyramids are here, and what they truly were used for were not for the pharaohs. They were used for a lot of different things, to heal others, to, you go in the center of these things, they were designed to heal you, to keep food fresh forever because it would not go bad there, to become an energy grid which could light up the whole planet. They had technology to do that. You know, Eric Von Daniken in Chariots of the Gods, he talked about what they found, a drawing in the pyramid, which looked like a giant light bulb. And I've seen that picture before. I don't know if it was, but it's interesting. So we've had these beings that have controlled us, and we also had what we saw in the last 26,000 years, if I'm to believe what this channeled message, is that the divine feminine went away. And the masculine energies were allowed to run the show. And in doing so, well, you saw what they've done. You see what they're doing now, right? And so that balance was lost, and this is why we've had, but it was part of an agreement. And at the end of 2000, you know, at the beginning of 2012, December 21st, somewhere in there, the agreement was going to come to an end. It was the beginning of returning to what we are. And I think a lot of people believe that now. A lot of people are seeing that. So the divine feminine's returning, and we're in the age of Aquarius, the awakening, the age of God, the age of enlightenment. I've heard it called many different things by channel sources. I believe this to be true. Can I prove any of it? I just see people waking up. I know I think differently and feel differently and sense things, and it seems like my psychic abilities have gotten better and better ever since 2012, especially. So we had the formation of the United States of America, part of our history, right? Now, many of you now are challenging this and saying, you know, it's a slave nation. How is this a wonderful place? You know, I think you have a point. You know, we have to remember slavery was all over the globe, even including Africa. There's a story that I heard about a man who was trading back in the 1700s, and his ship ran aground after they had left Africa, and the winds forced them back into the rocks, and they were in the middle of the desert. They survived, got to shore, and they saw a group of Africans around a fire, and they thought they were going to be freed. You know, they would make it home. But these men outnumbered them, and they took them as slaves, and they held them for ransom. So slavery, to me, was all over the world, used by everybody. It's just the wealthy were not slaves. And anybody that was under... And granted, Africa was treated horribly. Africans were treated horribly because maybe, I don't know, because of their simplicity, or maybe there was great wealth in Africa, and there were those that wanted that. Whatever the case may be, yes, our nation, when it started, was not perfect, not created by perfect men. But I believe there was a plan in place, and it was a higher plan to give men and women and everyone, the potential was going to be there for people to be free, sovereign, and not have monarchies and be able to own land. It's just an opportunity for freedom and to build your own dream. And I can look at the channeled messages about Saint Germain, and people may not believe in Saint Germain, but they claim that he, you know, visited and inspired our leadership back when they were doing, I think it was the Constitution. It was either that or the Declaration of Independence, but he showed up. And there's actually, in our history, there's a story about a man who showed up. Nobody knew who he was. And he was inspiring to everybody there. After he said what he had to say and got convinced them to do the right thing, he left, and they never saw him again. Now, there's the story of George Washington, who obviously survived, never got hit. I think his horse got shot, but he never got hit. And he was the type of general that was near the front lines all the time, encouraging his men to fight. The odds of him escaping that, it just tells you something else was going on, like he was being protected. And then there's the time at Valley Forge where he went outside and he went into the woods, and there was this white vision that he was talking to, white light vision. And it's recorded by one of the people, I don't know if it was an assistant, but somebody recorded this, and it's part of our history. Now, we don't talk about this, do we? No. So it just adds to the thing. So when the United States started, the dream, I think the Freemasons, who were free at the time and not corrupted, had a dream. And maybe not all of them were on board. Maybe some of them were already starting to jump ship. But I think at the beginning, the Freemasons were what their name implied. And they got infiltrated. There's a letter that George Washington wrote, which is another thing I just saw. I didn't know about this, but he was worried about the Freemasons being infiltrated by the Illuminati. Now, why would he be worried about that? And this was, he wrote a letter that they were in, starting to get to work their way into the Freemasons. So what if the Freemasons came here and their goal, they were following a higher path that was guided to them so that they could create? You know, something I totally skipped over was Jesus. I'll go back to that in a moment. But the Freemasons and even the Illuminati, I believe, when they first created, were illuminated beings, but they were infiltrated, like everything is. And so shortly after they formed, then they were infiltrated by other beings. And the same with the Freemasons, if they were eventually infiltrated. Now, I'm not here to attack Freemasons. The Freemasons I know are just good people that want to help out. But they say the 33 degree, I don't know for sure. So you can take it with a grain of salt if you want, but it makes sense to me. I forgot to really talk about, to me, one of the most influential beings that has been here, called the Son of God, which basically started a religion. And I don't quite see him that way. I see him as an enlightened master, an ascended master, who came here to wake us up and show us what he could do, we could all do, if we just believed strong enough, believed in ourselves, believed in Source, that we could all do these miracles. He said something to that effect too. What I can do, you can do as well or even more. Not quite those words. I don't remember the exact words. And of course, what are the things that are they accurate, the things he said? Are some of them not? That's where there's a lot of gray area, you know? Were all these apostles around him, you know, there's still the people arguing over this, whether it was just a couple of apostles or whether it was 10 of them or whatever. So to me, he was trying to wake us up, like others that have come before, and then we forget the message and we just start to want to worship the messenger. And part of this is translation or time, the stories change, but also I think it's deliberate. And I'm not here to trying to offend anybody, but I think religion was created to keep us in limited thinking and to think that we're these beings that are kind of wretched, born into sin because of Adam and Eve. And when I think it's just the opposite, we're born into ignorance, if anything, but of our own choosing. And we are wonderful divine beings. Look at a child, how joyful they are. They're pure. And so you're telling me that we're born into sin? That's your choice, but I don't follow that. When I stopped devaluing myself, then things changed for me, and I could see myself as this being that I think is unlimited. Now, I can't quite do those things, but I believe all of us are that capable, and then I think we're all just beings of love, and we're just on this journey because we want this journey. So when the United States was formed, there were two competing groups, and one group kept trying to take the original idea of freedom. And I know you're saying, how can you have freedom when you have slavery? I know that's wrong. But at the time, that was the mindset, just like the mindset now has changed a lot, especially in the last 20, 30 years. Look how much has changed. So there's a mindset, a vibration that keeps people thinking a certain way. And enlightenment comes a little bit at a time. And they go, you know what? Slavery's not right. And many of these people that had slaves released them after they were, you know, after, as they were nearing their death. And the North became a place where it didn't think slavery was a good, because maybe the consciousness was different. And the South, not everybody agreed on slavery. There were many people that didn't have enough money to have slaves, but they lived in the South and they just didn't like the Union telling them how to live. And that's why they seceded. Many people didn't want to fight in the war in the South because the rich people wound up not having to do it. And so many of these people that didn't even have slaves didn't even want to be a part of it. And I think that Lincoln County War with Matthew McConaughey is a good eye-opener because it tells you that they fought with the African-Americans, against the Southern rebel armies. And, you know, at first they were a mild rebellion, but the rebels were getting, the Southerners were getting frustrated with this group of people, and they wanted to eventually destroy them, which I don't think they did. The man who led this rebellion, I think, went on to become some kind of legislature after the war was over. Legislator. So then we'll move on in history of our world. And, you know, every war just about has been caused by this dark group of beings that have taken over the planet, enslaved us. Are they alien beings? I guess you could call them that. I think they're more multidimensional beings. Probably have worked with some alien beings because there still are those in the universe. And, you know, when you paint this picture, you think there's no hope. And I used to think this way years ago. But when you start connecting with the metaphysical and the channeled beings, you hear there's a different story going on. So even then, the people like David Icke in the world will tell you that, oh, it's blah, 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 and all this. And I used to listen to that stuff, and it's like I could only take so much of it because it was so negative. There's no hope. And, you know, my initial thinking about the fifth dimensional is that the Earth is going to get so bad, we're going to want to go to this fifth dimension because it's like I could see it happening. You know, for years, a picture painted. The Federal Reserve, formed in 1913, was done to enslave us with, to basically print money and not, you know, force us to go into debt. Governments love to spend money. They get used to it, just like all of us, right? And if you were given money all the time and you said, well, you don't have to pay it back, would you keep running up your credit cards? Well, I mean, pay it when you can. And then all of a sudden, you've got a $26 trillion deficit. And you're no longer on the gold standard, so the money means nothing, basically, because that ended in 1971. So now you're going, oh, and who's behind all that? And so the channeled message has been that the world bankers, global elite, are the first line, the wealthiest people, and then they have many minions that work for them, the Bilderbergers and all these other groups. And they pass laws, and they get together once a year, and they meet, or maybe more than that, and they meet and do all these things. And they're really controlled by, whether they realize it or not, there are darker forces that manipulate them to cause wars. They're doing it out of greed, but they want to create fear because there are forces that feed off of fear. So even if I'm wrong about all this, I think most of us can agree that there's dark and light. And I don't label them, because why give them any more power than they already have? If you want to call them something else, you go ahead. I just see them as beings that have an absence of light. They're no different than you and I. They've just, and I would say, don't forget, they chose to play a role so we could have an experience. That's the way I see it. Sorry if it doesn't agree with the way you see it. Maybe it gives you perspective. You know, the more things I listen to, the more it helps me. I don't always agree with all of them. But I like the perspective, whether, you know, I watched all the election play out and my friends on the left and the right, and it just gave me good perspective to see why they were so entrenched in what they believe. I have my own opinions, but I'm not going to go there. I'm just relaying what I've heard from channeled messages, and you can maybe choose, you know, it's obviously you'll choose what you want to believe and don't want to believe. I find a lot of people believe certain things that I've say and have uncovered if it fits in within their realm of possibility. A lot of people now are believing that maybe COVID was an engineered vaccine, but they're not ready to take that next step with aliens. When I talk about that, they kind of look at me and go, I don't know about that one. Okay, that's fine. I don't have a problem. I know they exist. I've seen them, you know. So then we have marched our way into what we are enslaved through our money systems by these beings, and we are heading in this direction. Where is it going to be something that are we going to be able to overcome? And I believe the forces of light are here now, and we're seeing a great awakening, and the truth is coming out. And the New World Order, which channeled beings have said was coming forward, is it being stopped? I think we're at the dawn of the new age, the great awakening. Have the elections been fixed? Channel sources said yes. This has been going on for a long time. They put in the people they want. The dark versus the light. Just remember the journey. Earth has chosen to become a place of light. More people are occupying the light, are coming here. And eventually dark will get so uncomfortable, because there'll be so much light, it'll leave. that is the great battle, if you will, that is going on. And I foresee a good outcome. And that's where I stand on that. And I don't mean to ever offend anybody, but it makes me able to look at life every day that's going on with all the things and not be in a difficult place. Love and light to you. Love and light.